You Top This, starring Senator Ford.
Good evening.
Harry Hirschfield.
Howdy.
And Joe Lorre Jr.
Hello.
And this is your host, Roger Powell. And now, here is your master of ceremonies, Ward Wilson.
Good evening, friends. Welcome to Can You Top This, our unrehearsed wheeze whirlpool. Our three wits do not know what jokes have been chosen until the people's representative, Peter Donald, tells them on the air.
Then our panelists try to top the score on the laugh meter registered by Peter Donald.
Our three gagsters have no scripts. They rely on memory and ability to switch jokes and make them fit the subject.
Can You Top This is made possible by our fine sponsor. Won't you please listen to this?
So let's get on with the laughs. Are you ready, fellas?
Ready.
I shouldn't wonder.
Okay, and I shouldn't either, Senator. Let's go. Our first joke this evening comes from Miss Marie Downey of Harwichport, Massachusetts, and it's on the subject of something Mama may have brought up to you once or twice in your earlier days, reprimand. Reprimand. So, Pete, if you tell it well, we won't scold you, and here we go.
Now, this happened out in India, in the province of Salamistan up there near Delhi, and there's a very, very stuffy, fussy British colonel inspecting the troops, and nobody liked this guy. Very, very fussy. So he's inspecting the company, and he stopped in front of one private. He said, "You know, this is disgraceful, sir. You call yourself a soldier. There's a speck of dust on your third button. Your moustache is unpressed. Now, that's disgusting, sir. Did you polish your rifle this morning?" The soldier looked at him. He said, "No." He said, "No? No what?" He said, "No polish." "Right there, sir." He says, "Now, look at you. Look at you. You're a disgrace to the corps. May I remind you, sir, we're here to keep up the prestige of our government. What do you suppose the native thinks of such conduct as yours? What will happen if one of your officers behave like this?" Well, he says, "I don't know, Colonel, but," he says, I seen a captain racing down the main street at 2 o'clock this morning, and he was full of liquid enthusiasm, and he was singing at the top of his lungs, and he was pushing a wheelbarrow." He said, "What? You have the insolence to accuse a captain of His Majesty's Army of singing in the street and pushing a wheelbarrow, and you expect me to believe this? Who was the captain?" He says, "I don't know, Colonel, but he was probably a friend of yours because you were in the wheelbarrow."
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
We have two hands up raised, and eeny, meeny, miny, moe, and we'll give a listen to Little Joe.
Well, Montgomery was taking his girl home one night. It was raining, terrible rain. And they stop in front of the door, and there's a large, big puddle there. So she says, "Montgomery, why don't you put your coat over the puddle so I can step on it?" He says, "Because coats cost money. That's why I don't put the coat over the puddle." She says, "Well, so Voltaire only did it for our lady." He says, "Who?" She says, Raleigh. He says, "Well, if I had a tobacco business like his, I'd do it too."
Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
And the next Herculean effort is going to be from Harry Hirschfield.
A fellow walks up to another guy in a saloon, and he says to him, "Do you know Sadie Blivitz?" The guy says, "Well, I look in a book." And he takes out a little red book, and he says, "Yeah, I know Sadie Blivitz. I know Sadie Blivitz." He says, "She got red hair. Could you describe her?" He says, "Let me look in a book." "Yeah, she got red hair. She's kind of a big dame, kind of sloppy big dame. That's Sadie Blivitz." The fellow said, "Did you ever have her out?" He said, "Yeah, I took her to a cafe one night. Gee, is that a dame? Oh, a few drinks, she began to drooling. She kept falling down in a dancing, fighting with the waiters, fighting with the taxi cab driver. Says, ever fighting? Oh, terrible." Fella says, "Listen, I'm her husband, and I want no more of that." He says, "Neither do I. Why do you think I scratch her off the list?"
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Who was reprimanding whom in that?
Guy's out with the guy's wife. And he's reprimanding.
He wasn't even reprimanded. He's in cahoots, apparently.
Well, it happened to come the last minute, Wallace.
It's a good thing you didn't have to top anything that time. That's
I'll
all I'm
stick
telling.
With Harry on that one.
Well, Senator is sitting
I'm
there.
Out of this thing. I mean, I'm not in the argument.
Oh,
I'm just saying, I like new... Harry. Hold on.
That's a real solid answer. Well, Senator, you look in a pensive mood there, and we haven't heard from you yet, so let's do it.
Well,
Al Gary, the radio writer, told me a couple of gags the other day, one of which seems to fit in here all right. It seems that a bachelor had a parrot. It was a very talkative little cuss. And every time the bachelor would bring some girls up into his apartment for cocktails and drinks and stuff, the parrot would make all sorts of remarks. One day he brought two blondes in there, and the parrot made cracks about peroxide and about one of them inherited a beauty from a father who owned a drugstore and things like that. So the bachelor got a little bit tired of it, and he said, "Now look, the next crack you made or every remark you make, I'm going to pull out a feather out of you." Well, he pulled a number of feathers out, and still it didn't stop the parrot. So the bachelor took the parrot and stuffed it in the icebox. Well, in the icebox, there was a chicken. It was all plucked and no head, no feet, ready to be roasted. And the parrot looked at the chicken and said, "Gee, you must have made some awful cracks."
$1,000 on the laugh meter. The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
That's our first perfect round of the evening, but...
We'll be right back with our next round of jokes after these few commercial words.
See, here's our next joke, actually, which comes from S. Brewer of Chicago, Illinois. And the subject of this round is something I have no doubt you've had many altercations with in your past. Teacher. So, Pete, I hope you have a lot of apt pupils.
Well, over in Brooklyn, this gal, Sadie DeKalb, had been going to night school, and she did pretty good. She got a nice education. She graduated with a Ph.D., that means perfect dope, and she decided that with this education, she should use it. So she got a part-time job as a teacher in one of the schools out in the borough of Brooklyn. So she did pretty good, but after 2 weeks, she asked one of the pupils to bring his mother with him to school. So the kid brings the mother. The mother wanted to know what it was. So Sadie said, "Listen, Mrs. Glockenspiel," she says, "I got to talk to you about that son of yours in my class. Oh, he's so perturbing. Oh, he's driving me nuts, that kid." So the mother said, "Why, Mr. Kalb, Junior is a little angel. He's also the smartest child in the neighborhood. Now, what is your complaint about my little angel?" She says, "Well, the thing that's driving me crazy is he's always asking questions." "Oh, questions, questions, all the time. Every time I pass his desk, questions, questions, questions." So the mother said, "Well, after all, Mr. Kalb, it's your job as a teacher to answer him. And as a matter of fact, I thought asking questions was a sign of intelligence." She says, "Yeah, it usually is. But your little angel keeps asking, 'What you doing tonight, Toots? How about going to the movie?'"
The laugh meter registers $1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Mr. Brewer has 25 clams salted away already. Our three wits are chasing after zephyrs once again. And let's see. Hardy souls we have here, willing to step in where angels fear to tread. The first one, Harry Hirschfield.
Well, I got a couple in my mind, two little shorties. One I want to toss in, the teacher said, "Sammy, can you make a sentence with the word avoid?" He said, "Yeah." But he stays there. Doesn't do anything. She says, "Well, go ahead." She said, "You could say, give a sentence with the word avoid." He says, "I can. Give me avoid." And the other one is the teacher takes the pupils for zoology class, takes them to the zoo. And right away, little Sammy sees the hippopotamus. He says, "What a terrible-looking animal. Wee, what an awful-looking thing. Wee. Is that awful? Is that a terrible-looking thing?" She says, "That's a hippopotamus." He says, "How could they make such a terrible thing like that? How, oh, isn't that an awful-looking animal?" She says, "Can you give me the plural for hippopotamus?" He says, "There. Who would want two of them?"
Well, Harry, avoid to the wise is sufficient, and on both counts that time.
$1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward.
Keeping our round intact thus far, and the Senator is either adjusting his glasses or has his hand up. Which, Senator?
I had my hand up.
All right.
I know a couple of gags about schools. Well, this particular one is about a teacher who was trying to demonstrate a simple experiment in the generating of steam. So he held up a tin can and he said to the class, "What have I in my hand here?" And a student said, "A tin can." He said, "That's right. Is it animate or inanimate?" Kid said, "It's inanimate." He said, "That's right. Now, how can I take this tin can and with a simple experiment, make a force that has speed and power and almost beyond control. And the kid said, tie it to a dog's tail.
Well, that was the preface. You said you knew a couple. I thought we were going to follow.
Anyone know one?
Yeah, if you'd want
to. Teacher said to a kid, what do they raise in wet climates? And he said, umbrellas.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
They both flicked up there, you too. That was the... Oh, this is a perfect round going again here. Joe, it's in your lap this
time. I'll get the counsel again. This is about a Sunday school teacher. He was teaching a class on the east side, and he says to the boys, he says, now, boys, we'll see what you learned last Sunday. You remember about Samson and the Philistines? Now, Skinny Shaner? He says, yes, sir. He says, tell me, what did Samson slay the Philistines with? He says, Samson slayed the Philistines with, so the teacher, to help him, points to his jaw. And little Skinny Shaner sees it. He says, oh, I know, a jawbone of an ass.
Up, up, up. 1,000 on the laugh meter, Ward. Hey, 1,000 on the laugh meter for that one, Ward.
Giving us a perfect round that time.
Don't go away. We'll have another round of jokes in a few moments.
Here's our next joke of the evening, sent in by Miss Jewel Lynn of Baton Rouge, Louisiana. And it's on the subject of something you may have a slight knowledge of, housekeeping. Housekeeping. So, Peter, make it a clean sweep.
Well, a bunch of the ladies of the neighborhood are having a little get-together, and they all started bragging about their housekeeping. So one says, you know, my husband tells me I'm the greatest housekeeper in the world because every Monday I have all the wash done and out on the line by noon at the very latest. So there's one little woman in the corner who's getting sick of all this bragging.
She says, that's housekeeping. She says, that's speed of washing. Drop dead.
So another woman says, well, she says, I'm considered a wonderful housekeeper. She says, my floors are waxed by 10 o'clock in the morning. Always waxed by 10 o'clock.
She says, that's vaccine. Drop dead.
So another one says, well, I have my housework done before lunchtime. I have the dinner half prepared, waiting for the finishing touches. Everything done by 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
She says, that's cooking. Drop dead.
So this woman said, is that so? Well, she says, how good is your housekeeping?
She said, how good is my housekeeping? Listen, girls. Every day, I got the house cleaned, the lunch dishes washed, and the beds made before the family even gets up already.
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
And I think Harry Hirschfield's hand was raised first.
Well, there's a crazy story running around town. I don't think it's been told on the air yet. A panhandler comes to our house, and the housewife comes out and says, what do you want? He said, gee, I haven't eaten any food in 4 days. I'm awful hungry. She says, do you like cold noodle soup? He says, I'll eat anything. He says, come tomorrow. It's warm yet.
Need any information as to what happened then, Harry?
The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Making 2 1,000s in a row in this round, and let's see, Senator, I think your hand was raised second.
Well, Mr. and Mrs. Sam Bunbottom were always arguing around the house about how the house should be kept and how it shouldn't be kept. Quarrel, knock down, and drag out domestic arguments all the time. And finally, she said to him, she said, Sam, just look at our cat and dog, how peaceful they are on the hearth there. They never quarrel. He said, no, they don't, but tie them together and see what happens.
1,000 on the laugh meter.
Now, as we listen to Joe Lawrence.
Jerry Colonna told me once some time ago that fits this with one of his goofy gags. It's about a fella comes home, and his wife is crying. And she says, well, how's the supper? She says, oh, terrible. So I did all my housework today, and then I fixed the turkey. He says, well, that's what I'm waiting for the turkey. What's the matter? Where's the supper? Where's the turkey? She says, well, I made a mistake. She says, I took all those vitamin B pills and stuffed the turkey with them instead of the rice. He says, so what? She says, now the turkey is holding the oven door and won't let me open it.
Well, you fellas did it again.
That one made the top. 1,000 on the laugh meter.
To continue our contest of wit and humor, the next joke was sent in by Clement J. Brophy of Erie, Pennsylvania. And the subject of this joke will be painter. Painter.
Painter?
Painter. Singular. Yeah, with the brush, Senator. I know they can't see your gestures on the air very well. Peter Donald, will you give this one the brush?
Well, it's about little Paddy Terence Aloysius Dennis Mulvaney. Cuban boy, and he was a sign painter, and he traveled around all over the country, and he'd get to a new town, and he'd paint a lot of signs, make enough money to get to the next town. So he got in this one town, and he stopped at the first bar he saw, a very beautiful place called the Little Gypsy DT Room. And he walked in there.
He says, "Oh, bartender, come here, come here." He says, "I want to talk with you." He said, "Did you want any signs painted or anything like that?" He says, "Oh, my, I paint beautiful signs. Oh, my, I draw them beautiful. With Venus de Milo and Minnie de Mouse, all kinds of things. What do you want? I'll paint anything in the world."
Bartender says, "All right." He says, "I'll give you a chance at it." He says, "Paint me a sign on that mirror." Fella did. Bartender said, "You know, that's not bad. That's pretty good." He says, "You know, I know a lot of other saloon keepers around the town who would like some signs made." He says, "I'll have somebody watch the bar here and I'll take you out."
So he went down to all his cronies' places and they stopped in at every saloon. And the fella painted a sign and they had a couple of drinks. And then they go in another place, he painted a sign, "I have another couple of drinks." Then another place and get another couple of drinks. Another place. Went all over town stopping in for drinks. So finally they got back to the original saloon.
The little guy says, "You know," he says, "you've been very kind to me. You have been very kind to me. I appreciate it a lot." He says, "To show what I feel for you," he says, "I'm going to paint a beautiful sign for your front door with your name on it, and you can hang it out front, and everybody will know who owns the place."
So he goes to work and paints this sign, and he handed it to the owner of the saloon.
Fellow said, "What are you doing?" He said, "I can't hang this sign up."
He says, "Why not?"
He says, "Well, look at what you got here. Michael O'Reilly, chiropractor."
He says, "Well, what's the matter with that?"
He says, "Well, I'm no chiropractor."
He says, "You're not a chiropractor." He says, "Brother, in all my life, I never seen anyone who knows as many joints as you do."
$1,000 on the laugh meter award.
So Mr. Brophy automatically has $25. You boys are out for the ride and the laughs, and Joe Laurie had his hand up.
I have a short preface. Montgomery Epstein made a lot of money, and he went in for art. And he's buying all kinds of stuff. One day he comes home, and he says to his wife, he says, "Well, today I spent $50,000 on Rembrandts." She says, "What?" He says, "$50,000 I spent on Rembrandts." She says, "Are you crazy? To spend $50,000? He says, "Why? Rembrandts is worth a lot of money." She says, "Oh, Rembrandts. I thought you said remnants." I like those guys. The one I want to tell is a goof is watching a painter mixing paints and painting, and he looks at him and says, "Gee, you mix those paints, huh?" He says, "Yeah." He says, "Tell me, what is that?" He says, "Well, look, if you take yellow, you mix yellow and blue, you get green." He says, "Oh, that's nothing. If you milk, if you mix..." He says, "That's nothing. If you mix yellow and green, you get green." He says, "Yes, that's nothing." He says, "If you mix milk and pickles, you get green too."
$1,000 on the laugh meter. The laugh meter registers 1,000 for that joke, Ward.
Well, Larry Hirschfield, you're up next.
I was ahead of myself.
Everybody is telling goof stories tonight, including myself. First, I want to throw in quick. A painter goes to the country, and he sees a kind of a goofy farmer standing there, and he says to the farmer, "If I give you $5, will you let me paint you?" And the farmer doesn't answer. So I said, "Will you, if I give you $10, will you let me paint you?" He says, "It ain't that. I'm just trying to figure out how I'm going to get the paint off later." But I have a story that I'd like to tell. Mrs. Ivan Popnikov started out to get some culture. So she went to the Metropolitan Museum of Art, got herself a catalog so she'd see the names of the paintings and everything. And she gave a hurried think through the thing and all that. When she came home that night, she said to Popnikov, her husband, she says, "Popnikov, you got to go with me to the museum tomorrow. We're going to see paintings, culture. I got a book. I'll explain everything to you, and you'll learn something." So he went with her, showed the different paintings, different names, the book tie. Finally, he came to a picture
of a guy, an awful-looking guy, needed a shave, his hair was unkempt, his clothes were torn, an awful-looking thing. He says, from who is this, a picture? So she looked in the book, says, that's a Venetian beggar. He says, that's the poor people every time. He ain't got a cent, but money for pictures he's got.
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
Senator Ford, how about you in this round?
Well, I know a fellow who painted a picture of a decayed apple and everybody said it was rotten.
$1,000 on the Laugh Meter Award.
Join Can You Top This, originated by Senator Ford, next week. Same time, same gang, other jokes, some new, some old. Until then, we remain yours for bigger and better laughs.
Edward Ford.
Harry Hirschfield.
Joe Laurie Jr.
Hi, Mayor.
Ward Wilson.
And this is your host, Roger Bauer, saying so long. And take care of yourself until we meet again next time.